I suppose that my prescribed busy work should begin as a ghost story, since that was surely Constance's experience of these events. I fear, however, that the term arouses unreasonable expectations in you. I scarcely expect to frighten you of all people, even if you should read this by snickering candle and creaking floorboards, or with me lying at your feet. So, a ghost story. The scene opens in unthreatening daylight, the morning that Joseph cast the child out of their bedroom. The horror tales that Constance kept at her bedside always opened peacefully, and so shall hers. The burst of morning sunlight startled the golden dust off the enfolded crimson drapery and drew fine black veins at the edges of the walnut-brown sill. The casement wants repainting, she thought. The distant irregular trills of Angelica's uncertain fingers stumbling across the piano keys downstairs, the flowery aroma of the first loaves rising from the kitchen. From within this thick foliage of domestic safety, his coiled rage found her unprepared. I've suffered this insult too long, he said. I cannot countenance a single night more of this reversal of nature. You encourage this upending of my authority. You delight in it, he accused. It ends now. Angelica has a bedroom, and she shall sleep in it. Am I understood? You've made us ridiculous. Are you blind to this? Answer me. Answer me. And that's the opening of the first part. The issue, of course, is whether the child should sleep in its own room or not, which has led my brother to call this book Dr. Ferber and Mr. Hyde. There is no more Victorian moment in a contemporary marriage than when the child is screaming in its crib, and the husband says, it'll be fine, and the wife says, I have to go in right now. And he says, no, it'll be fine, don't you open that door. And then suddenly you realize that Victorian marriages are everywhere. I have consulted with many of my contemporaries, and there has never been a case of the male trying to go into the bedroom while the female blocked the door, just for reference. Pavers were at work. The sound of their rammers echoed off a narrow court with pools and rivulets of mud and sewage at its center, and the echoes of the rammers, and then the echoes off the closed buildings on the other side, produced the tantivy of a horse, galloping but unmoving, straddling the earth with its enormous hooves, clopping without end. And only then did Constance hear the other hooves, a real horse moving too quickly through the street, its eyes like polished globes, its handsome listing moving on only two wheels, and from its box the driver jumping clear. The hansom fell, the harnesses twisted, and then the horse, too, fell, and took such a strangely long, long time to fall, but not strangely long enough for a young girl, who stood as if unaware, moving not at all, and wasting that strangely long, long moment by merely standing up from the muddy road with a scrap of something white she had just collected there. That child's pleasure at retrieving that bit of white did not fade, even as it was falling under the twisting black animal's spattered, muscled flank. Her hair was flung over her face, and Constance even had time to thank God for sparing her the sight of the child's round eyes as she was pushed to the ground, and then that awful mass rolled and thrashed atop her. The child could not scream, but others did on her behalf, though they were at first audible only in the rare spaces between the dozen pavers ringing rammers, that larger horse still galloping over the contorted form of the smaller. The black horse's black eyes spun in its socket and crusted lashes. It futilely shifted its legs, trying to haul itself to its feet, but succeeded only in grinding its haunch against the muck, and under that writhing sleekness of muscle lay the still child, face down, driven into the slimy pools and sharp edges of unfinished paving. The pavers and the driver ran to the horse, and a woman at Constance's side cried out, "He'd done it! I saw him! He pushed her under!" and waved a finger and a fist at an ancient man leaning against the wooden fence closest to where the child fell. One of the pavers heard the words and ran after the old man, who had, at the accusation, begun to lope feebly away. The paver drove his head into the old man's back and brought him to the ground. Constance could bear no more, and she fled, her speed only slackening when the accident and its attendant cries were streets away. Little Victorian atmosphere. this sort of thing, I understand, happened all the time. Just constantly kids being crushed under horses. No, it wasn't. It's a child-friendly book, of course. That's part of part one still, this ghost story. I don't want to oversell the book. There isn't much of a ghost story to it. It's only part of the book. So if you're looking for the most haunting, ghostly story you'll ever read, this may not be the book. Having not oversold it, I don't want to undersell it. It is great. It's fantastic. It's the best book you'll ever read. You should buy two. Do people have any questions at this juncture or comments or anything they want to talk about before we plow on to more Victoriana?